Hello, friends. So many of you know that when I've taught through this platform before, I've enjoyed bringing in flowers from the yard. And anyway, I'm in an Airbnb working on my book. Got some time away for writing, and so this is my setup. One screen that just covers a closet. So full transparency here. I'm on the road and I hope our Wi-Fi holds up for us. I don't have the security of the Wi-Fi setup I have at home. But I'm so glad to pause from, actually, I'm not writing right now. I'm in the editing stage, which a part of me finds a big grueling, having never written a book of this magnitude before. But it feels important and it takes a lot of focus, and I'm incredibly grateful actually to pause and practice in community and be here with you. So thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up to practice. With that, I would like to jump straight in. Hi, Charlie. Yeah, I'd like to come straight into an experience of being together. For the meditation today, I would like to invite you to focus on releasing any temptation to discipline the mind. Knowing how to place the attention where you want it to be, such an incredibly important part of practice. And for today, I was going to say mostly, but it's partly and mostly at the same time. And maybe I'll say more about that later. We'll see if that arises naturally. But partly, mostly based on what's happening in our world right now. It's such a intense time for so many of us, and I'm finding more and more that it's a time in which the medicine is gentleness, relaxing into, softening, releasing, letting go. For some time now, it hasn't been the time for strictness, harsh discipline. It's probably never a good time for harsh discipline. But I know in my own training, there was an important period of learning how to train the attention to be where I wanted it to be. The harshness was something I had to practice letting go of, but the discipline piece of it was really an important page. But it's not the page I'm inviting you to be on for today. So close that book, set it aside. Come into the position that's most comfortable for you. Allow for a felt sense of ease. And thank you, by the way, so much for saying hello in the sidebar. I start just about every group I do by bringing all voices into the room. And that's just one way we can do it when there are this many folks gathered together, just to be able to say hello from the side. So thank you for that. I'm going to start this meditation formally with a bell in 2 minutes. So give yourself the next 2 minutes to either write in on the side if you haven't yet, or listen to the body. You might want to stretch for a moment. For me, it feels great to twist the spine. We so often take our experience of being embodied for granted. Take a moment now. Hi, Brett. It's been a long time. And Sarah, I saw your name come through. Hello. Richard, hello. And Outer Banks. So allow yourself to listen to the body. Maybe rolling your head on your neck, maybe if you, I was going to say if you, but let's just be clear about my projection here. I've been typing a lot. So for me, doing the opposite motion of what I've been doing, is helpful. So giving yourself another minute to stretch, to open, to be in the body. To tend to the body. To care. One of the reasons that I mentioned that I wanted to invite rest, ease in the body for this meditation is that I'd like to take you through a bit of a guided imagery within this meditation as we focus on our topic today, blamelessness, the practice of blamelessness. So start by allowing the breath to be easy, soft, allow the breath to be exactly as it is in this moment. In this moment, we're not controlling the breath in any way. We're not doing any type of breath practice. We're just allowing the breath to be. Allow your body to be exactly as it is in this moment. Allow your experience at large to be exactly as it is in this moment. There might be a lot of letting go you have to do in order to allow your experience to be exactly as it is in this moment. There might be very little letting go. Just notice. Allow the attention to scan through the body for a moment, just noticing what's here. And ask, again, the theme here, gentleness, softness. I'm going to add in kindness. Allow the attention to lovingly and with kindness move through the body, just noticing what's here now. How friendly can you allow the attention to be as it hits a knot of constriction or tension or maybe even pain? How warm, how welcoming of your experience exactly as it is can your open, aware attention be? As if with each thing your attention comes to, there was a sense of, I see you. I'm here. Aloneness. Aloneness in the form of feeling separate or other than is a figment of the imagination. Drop into presence. Simply being aware of being aware. If you've been feeling alone recently, or feeling separate or other than, visualize that experience as simply a little wave or a little current in a vast body of water. So not separate from this vast body, part of this vast body, unable to exist without this vast body, let's say the sea. So if you've been feeling yourself to be this little current or ripple or wave, if you've been feeling yourself to be the wave, now know yourself to be the sea. And rest here for a moment. Now, in this place of openness, and I hesitate to call it a place because it's the kind of openness is not even as limited as something like a sea, which does have shores. This openness we're resting in is infinite. It's not really a place at all. But language fails us, so rest in this place of openness. And as I ask a few prompts, simply notice whatever arises in this open field, if you were. There's no right or wrong answer to these questions. In fact, I want to encourage you to consider that I'm inviting whatever the first conditioned response might be to arise. Something I say so often is, what we're unconscious to silently governs us. We can't see it. We can't let it go. Just allow whatever's true in your experience, in your conditioned experience, to reveal itself in this light of open, vast awareness. Allow yourself to explore these prompts in the privacy of your own heart. You can share what comes up with you, for you, with others if you want to, but it's not going to be required. So this is just your practice, your experience. So what arises when I ask you to consider, is there anywhere in your life right now that you're stuck in blame? Just notice what arises with no judgment. Welcoming whatever arises with no judgment. Is there anywhere that you're stuck in blame? That might mean you're blaming someone else, you're blaming something else, you're blaming the world. Might mean you're feeling blamed by someone else, by yourself, by the world. Where in your life is it, whatever the it is, someone else's fault? Yeah, someone just wrote in the side, blaming myself. Where in your life right now is it your fault? You're just noticing. What is the result of this blame on your body? Let's start there. What do you notice? What happens in your body when you're stuck in blame? And if this isn't lighting up for you at all, no worries. Just turn down the volume on my voice. Allow yourself to enjoy meditation. We'll come back together 40 minutes after the hour. But if this is rich for you, look to see, how does it affect your body to be caught in blame? What happens? And what's the self-talk or the internal dialogue? What's the conversation you have with yourself when you're caught in blame? What's thinking mind doing when you're caught in blame? What are the effects in the mind of blame? How does it, lastly, affect your energy? What do you notice energetically about what happens when you're stuck in blame? How would you describe that? Before we leave this part of the guided imagery, just see, is there anything else to notice about the experience of being caught in this conditioned process around blame? Yes, and someone mentioned, I don't think I blame much, but I have judgment and expectations, which seem to be a different flavor. Yes, blame can take many forms. Thank you for your subtle noticing of that. How quickly is that slide from judging something else that I don't like into blaming it for my experience of being unhappy, let's say? Yes, heaviness. Yeah, thank you for that comment. So just looking to see, is there anything else to notice about this experience of blame before we let it wash through? Does it feel clear that when we're in blame, we're suffering? Now, I want to offer a practice that can allow the releasing of this suffering in a very simple breath practice, using breath as a way to free move energy away. Bring all your attention to the heart. Visualize that the heart is out in front of the body, and as you inhale, draw the breath in through the front of the body. Bring it into the center of the heart. And as you exhale, release the breath out the backside of the body, behind the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from behind the heart. Bring the breath into the center of the heart. And then as you exhale, exhale and release the breath out the front side of the heart. Next, you'll visualize that the breath is to the left side of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from the left side of the heart. Come into the center of your heart. Exhale, release the breath out the right side of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from the right side. Come into the center of your body. Exhale, release the breath out the left side of the heart. And then lastly, visualize that the breath is up above the crown of the head. Draw the breath in through the crown of the head. Come into the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath out and down into the earth. Inhale, draw the breath in from the earth. Come into the center of the heart. Exhale the breath up and out the top of the head. This is the basic breath pattern, and I'm going to walk us through it again, and then soon I'm going to release us to do it in silence. So take note of this pattern as we move through it this time. Everyone has a different pace of breathing, so it can be a little clunky as I walk us through it because you might be breathing at a different pace. That's fine. But right now, just take in the pattern because then you can truly just go at the pace of your own breath. So visualize that the breath is in front of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from the front of the heart into the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath out the backside of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from the backside of the heart. Come into the center of the heart and then release the breath out the front side of the heart. The breath's now on the left side of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath in from the left side of the heart. Come into the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath, the right side. Inhale from the right side, draw the breath into the center of the heart. Exhale out the left side. Visualize that the breath is above the crown of the head. Inhale, draw the breath in through the crown of the head. Come into the center of the heart. Exhale the breath out and down into the earth. Inhale, draw the breath in from the earth. Bring the breath into the center of the heart. Exhale the breath up and out the top of the head. And then let me know on the sidebar if you'd like me to walk the group through it or you through it one more time. If you feel like you've got it, no need to say anything. But even one person enjoying or appreciating just being guided through that pattern one more time is something that I would want to respond to. Okay, lovely. No request for that. So now at your own pace in silence, allowing the breath to move through the heart in this way. And thank you. Yes, thank you. We had a few folks request one more time. So if you are ready to just drop into silence, again, just turn the volume down on my voice while I walk those who wish to hear it through the pattern one more time. Visualize that the breath's in front of the heart. Inhale, draw the breath into the center of the heart. As you exhale, release the breath as if it's going out the backside. Inhale, draw the breath in from the backside to the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath out the front. Visualize that the breath is to the left of the body. Draw the breath into the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath out the right side. Inhale, draw the breath in from the right side to the center of the heart. Exhale, release the breath out the left side. Inhale, visualize that the breath is above the crown of the head. Inhale and draw the breath in through the crown of the head. Come into the center of the heart. And then as you exhale, release the breath out and down into the earth. Then draw the breath, gather the breath from the earth. Bring it into the center of your heart, and then exhale, release the breath up and out the top of the head. So if you've been practicing that pattern at the pace of your own breath, finish up the round that you're on, and then release it. Release the practice. And for the last 5 minutes of this meditation, simply notice the effects of that breath practice on the body and the mind. and the energetic system. If you're new to this kind of practice and you notice nothing, just notice nothing. Really let go of judgment, which, as someone accurately pointed out, has a relationship with blame. So for this last 5 minutes, just noticing and being. Simply resting in. Resting in openness. Releasing in being. Simply being aware of being aware. In a moment, I'll be ringing the bell. As I ring the bell, continue to allow yourself to simply be this open space of awareness, space out of which a sound arises. So as we transition into what's next, I invite you to see what's next as simply another part of the meditation. So we're still resting in this open space of contemplation. As we move into what's next, you may want to take a moment to make any notes that could be valuable to write down about what you saw with that, what came up for you with that. Not required, but I just want to invite that, if that would be fruitful for you in your practice. And thank you for these questions about, is this practice written down? I'm so delighted to report that I've got this practice in an expanded version in the book that I'm working on. So that book will be out in the fall of 2022 through Sounds True. And the working title is The Heart of Who We Are, Realizing Freedom Together. So I'm quite delighted by it. More than delighted by the process of writing this book, I'm delighted to share it, for that's the whole point. So look for it in the fall of 2022 through Sounds True, and the practice is there. So I wanted to say a little more about this topic of blame and accessing a space of blamelessness. By the way, if you enjoyed that simple version of a breath practice that I've done many times, and that's the simplest form of it. But if you enjoyed that, when I teach it to teens, I do it with just the whole body. So in fact, that's an even simpler version, just visualizing that the breath is coming in through the whole front side of the body, releasing from the entire back side of the body. And it's the same pattern of front, back, left, right, up and down. And for those of you who enjoyed that, you might appreciate knowing that the first group of teens I taught that to lovingly named this practice the dental floss breath, which I think is perfect. Just clearing the system out. When thinking about judgment or blame, it can be specifically nice to do this practice in the heart. That's where we access forgiveness. And that's where we access a direct experience of unconditional love. So one of the things I want to focus on today is the relationship between unconditional love, a love that's not attached to any specific thing. The relationship between that and blame, or specifically the releasing of blame. I'm not going to focus too much more on the fallout of being stuck in blame, because I'm trusting that you're pretty clear about that. You know, we're living in a really unprecedented time, a unique time in terms of what it means to be human. So for example, there's never been in the experience, the history of Gaia, there's never been a mass extinction caused by one species. And we're in an era where it's not just that there's this particular rash or epidemic of blaming. So for example, it's other people's fault that we're having this climate crisis. You know, we're in a particular face of blaming, I've noticed, that I like to talk about as passing the buck. That's a particular form of blame that I'm seeing and might resonate with you. So just notice any ways that you might be present to this process of recognizing that whenever we're unhappy, it's like a knee-jerk response, a conditioned reaction for us to maybe on some level know that we're partly responsible. But when I say, yeah, we're responsible, for example, for climate crisis, notice the ways in this passing the buck era that often when we say we really mean them. So I want to talk about that today as a separating device. Yes, we humans are responsible, but let me just say they, and then fill in the blank. If they would do X, if they would do Y, if they would stop doing X, if they would stop doing Y. So there's this passing of the blame. And specifically with this example I'm using today, there's a passing of blame to this maybe corporate faceless entity or entities who are profiting from something, let's just say like poisoning water. Or so I'm just giving one example with climate, but there are many ways we could talk about this sort of passing the buck experience. So there's this sort of structures and foundations that society have been built, and they're falling apart. That's part of this era that we're in. To some degree, they're falling apart. So when these things begin to fall apart, who do I pass the blame to? I've stepped out from this old order, so I'm uncomfortable. So it must be them. It must not be me. We should do something, but it's their fault. So go ahead and make some comments on the side, if you would, with kind of how this is landing, how this is resonating so far. What are you noticing so far as I speak? There's more that I'd like to say about it, but let's pause now and just see. What are you noticing so far about this passing the buck energy that I'm pointing to? Or you might type in a little something about what you noticed in that meditation around your experience of blame. Again, what I'm suggesting is that this is a page in the story of human consciousness, human evolution. You know, our minds can't predict what's next. And what I want to suggest about this topic today is that there's a deep need. If we wish to realize freedom together, there's a deep need for us to choose the absolute, choose love, choose connection. Yeah, some Jenny, encouraging self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. Zora, I call this mechanism macro projections. Yes, Megan, helpful to think of it as a phenomenon of an era. Yeah, I find it useful too. Kate, I struggle with over-responsibility and under-responsibility. The pendulum swinging too far. It's all my fault or it's not my fault. Excellent recognition of duality. How is duality keeping this? You have to have a sense of the perception of duality in order to keep an experience of othering in place. And you can't blame without the perception of other than. We even other ourselves, our experience of ourselves, when we're blaming. Discernment of cause and effect is required, and judgment is not. Yes, Jeff, pointing out the difference between discernment and judgment. If he would, Gwyn, that it gives my power in situation away. Excellent noticing. We're powerless. We are powerless when we stay stuck in the othering dynamic. And the moment we say, if he would, we become victims in our own story. Sarah, I don't get that far larger society because I'm stuck in my own rusty body and self-blame. Excellent observation, Sarah. You're recognizing that the self-blame keeps you in here. And I'm going to say in here, keeps you in here. That's one of the points. This is how we get isolated. How we, remember I talked about alone is a figment of the imagination. This is how we get stuck in that aloneness. Pam, conversation can't continue if we blame the other. So Pam, you're recognizing how much the whole conversation about change, evolution, is halted if we're stuck in blaming the other. Blame creates separation. Yes, Fiona, I agree. And it arises out of separation. It maintains separation. So you actually can't blame unless that original perception is there. So the reason unconditional love is so important, the reason focusing the attention on the absolute reality of experience, on true nature, you could say, is because that experience is prior to the perception of duality. Now, that implies time, and this is actually where language fails us. So hang with the poetry of this, if you would. I recognize the tendency sometimes to blame others, even though I know it's not helpful, and I see it come from my sadness and fear of what's going to happen in that sense, from my love for the earth. Thank you. So, Lynn, I hope I'm saying your name right. That's a very important part of what I wanted to share today. And so I'm going to use that as an opportunity to move into it for a moment. I'd like you to next look at where in my life am I avoiding something that I don't want to be with? I'm referencing my heart because my sense is it could be feeling based, but you look to see what is true for you. Where am I avoiding being with something and using blame as a way to not have to be with it? For many of us, we're conditioned to avoid feeling something. So if I stay in blame, it's someone else's fault, then I don't have to be with my fear, my resistance, my anger, my frustration, my sadness, my despair, my hopelessness, my anxiety. I have a loved one in my life who recently was diagnosed with cancer. And I watched this person move into a tendency to want to say, that's the reason why. It's not that that's bad or wrong, but it's a conditioned pattern. It's a conditioned habit. And when we're doing that, we're often doing it because it's so much more comfortable and easy than saying, and here's the effect on me. Here's the feeling. Here's what's happening in me, because this is simply what is. That's another piece I want to bring into this. We often get caught in blame because we're unwilling to stay with, I don't know. Blame is a form of having a sense of control. Oh, it's their fault. If they weren't doing that thing, then I wouldn't be having this experience. So now I don't have to stay with my discomfort. I don't have to stay with my sadness. It's their fault. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to completely avoid my felt experience. I'm going to avoid what's happening here. And while I'm doing that, I'm also not going to take any responsibility, because that would mean sticking with something deep and fundamental. The truth of blamelessness, which exists in the unknown. It exists in I don't know mind. It exists on the realm of the absolute or unconditional love. How do we access blamelessness? By remembering we don't really know. And Erica, you're right. To live in the unknown of life is very vulnerable. That's another reason we have knee-jerk of blame. It's a lot less vulnerable. And vulnerability is scary to us. But remember, vulnerability is only scary to the ego. So you can ask, when I catch myself, I want to turn this into a practical practice. When I catch myself caught in blame, you can pause, you can ask, you can say, I'm blaming. As some have pointed out, I'm blaming myself, I'm blaming others. You can ask, is there anything I'm avoiding? Is there any way that I'm just trying to control, trying to stand on something. The minute I blame for the ego, things feel certain. There's a right, there's a wrong, there's a you, there's a me, there's an us, there's a them. I have solid ground to stand on, says the ego. It's not what the heart longs for. It's not what the heart knows to be true. So what I'd like to do now is invite anyone who would like to be in conversation to come on screen. And Jenna, and while I'm waiting to see if someone would be willing to come on screen, I would just love to have someone come on and talk about what you're noticing. So there's no pressure around this. You don't have to come on with an insight, or you could just say, like, what's happening for you with this? What's arising for you with this? Before we bring on folks on screen, it is important to me, Sangha Live, as you heard, you know, operates on donation basis. And I know sometimes when we move into question and answer, some folks need to leave the call. So it is very important to me to remember to say to you, please donate if you can. The button's right underneath me. And as Caroline mentioned, we exist because of the generosity of you. So please do be sure to donate today. So I'd love to share with anyone who would like to come on screen. And Caroline has just mentioned that if anyone would like to come on screen, you just let her know here, and then we can have a conversation. It's my favorite way to be in exchange, because then I can really address what's so for you. But I very much appreciate the activity in the chat, because that's second best. I like the exchange because I get to hear, as I say something, your response. So it's just that much more relational. But while I'm waiting to see if anyone's willing to come on screen, I will respond to some things here in the chat and then look at the questions as well below. So blame self or to others harbors anger and hurt, but avoids accountability. Agree. You know, if I'm busy directing my attention to, you know, it's their fault, I'm off the hook to some degree. I don't have to be, again, I want to go back to the ways we avoid being with feeling. I don't have to be with that felt sense that I'm accountable for my life experience. It's a really difficult truth for us to reconcile at times, that we are 100% accountable for our life experience. Now, that doesn't mean that external things don't happen that are beyond our control. That's going on every day. But how we are in relationship with what is, we are accountable for. We can avoid that by staying stuck in a process of blame. Our suffering will be deepened, enhanced, and maintained in that process, though. So JD, you ask an interesting question. How did blame become such a mindless, knee-jerk response? This is where, JD, I would ask to know a little bit more about your experience if you were on screen. So I want to invite you to come on and chat with me about this, if you're open to it, because I don't think there's a one answer to this. We each have survival strategies, conditioned survival strategies that we employ in order to, the ego employs, in order to attempt to survive our lives. So we each have different knee-jerk conditioned behaviors, usually in the name of trying to survive our lives, but skimming past the real unmet needs. For example, I referred in this meditation to the unmet need of being seen. I started the meditation today with allowing the attention to hold this flavor of I see you, because so many of us have this unmet need. So we're trying to get that need met in other ways. JD, thank you. Yes, the sense of control. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Lynn, you're willing to come on screen. Thank you so much. I would love to have you come on. And I'll just leave all the technical stuff to Caroline, meaning I'm going to drop down into the questions now instead of reading all the chat, because I think some of that's just about coming onto screen. So Caroline, bring someone on whenever they're ready. And while I'm waiting, I'll just go down and read the first question here. How can I stay in acceptance of what is when I see the blame projected and stay at peace within my personal experience? Well, here's the good news. Personal experience. I wanted to say it doesn't really exist, but of course it exists on one realm. But the peace that you're talking about isn't personal. So you don't have to identify with a separate self that's going to work really hard to find peace. The peace that you long for is actually the peace of being. And that's not yours. It's not something you attain. It's not something you get through years of practice. It's not something you finally get to have once you set aside this pesky habit of blaming. Although if you stay stuck in blame, it's your experience of this peace that I'm referring to is veiled. So when you see yourself identify with this process around blame, use that as an opportunity to come back to what's true on the absolute realm. What is true on the absolute realm? That the process of blame exists inside this dualistic structure, a world of separation, a world of us and them. That it's possible to stabilize in our experience of we, the largest sense of we. I like to talk about it as our shared being. Caroline, I'd love to see whether it's working to bring, I want to invite you to just cut me off if someone's ready to come on. And I'm trusting that in the moment where it's just, we're having a little trouble bringing some folks on. So I'll keep going through the questions, but okay. There might be some tech issues. Okay. Difficult to connect. All right. Trying another way. Thanks, friends. Yeah. I appreciate you hearing that I do. I do appreciate the interaction. Okay, so it looks like you're going to give it a shot, Spencer. Great. Be good to see you again. Okay, I'm going to move on to this next question here. Where does accountability come into this conversation? Yeah, thank you. So, as mentioned, if I'm completely stuck in blame, fully identified with blame, then I don't have to be accountable at all because it's somebody else's fault. Or I might be blowing up my sense of personal accountability by this inflamed sense of self-blame. Many people on the call have pointed to self-blame as something that's debilitating. So, for example, Claudia, you said, I blame myself for not having done enough to prevent climate change. Wonderful moment to pause and ask, and how does that serve you regarding what you want to create and be in this world? So Dr. Kristen Neff, many of you, I'm sure, on this call are familiar with her. Dr. Kristen Neff did a study about self-hatred and noticed that one of the biggest reasons people resist practicing self-compassion is they're afraid they'll lose their sense of motivation. So we have this deep conditioned belief that I need to blame myself for not having done enough about climate change. Because if I don't blame myself, what would I do? And then, Pam, you added on, you know, labels given to each other can also be quite debilitating. Totally agree with that. So accountability, back to accountability. How can we take 100% responsibility for our lives? From this open space of blamelessness. That's the practice question to sit with, because that's full accountability. I'm responsible for my response to what is. What does that responsibility look like if it's stripped of blame? Oh, I just saw a note that said, did Caverly lose connection? Could you let me know whether I'm still here for you all? Anybody could just give me a little feedback. It says, did Caverly lose connection? But I'm still connected on my end. Okay. So I still see comments coming on the side. Okay. I'm still here. Great, Caroline. So, Sangha Live, Caroline said, Spencer, do you have a different browser? Could you try a different browser? And now we've got a comment here. I'm fascinated at the generosity of thinking about areas in life where we may be blaming, like climate change, but I'm still stuck at trying not to blame my partner for doing the dishes. Thank you so much for writing that in. This might be the most fruitful way to begin this practice of seeing blame, as we did in the meditation, seeing it. What are the effects on my body, mind, energetic system of being stuck in blame? Cut to the chase, we're suffering if we're stuck in blame. So what we might want to explore that with something big and external, or we might want to look at how I keep blaming this family member. And now I'm caught trying not to blame this family member. So now what you're describing is, now I'm blaming myself for blaming the family member. That's just more blame. Allow yourself to see the mechanism of blame as a conditioned process that's not you. That's where we'll experience the most freedom, is in recognizing I am not the conditioned process of blame. In the same way that you are not your thoughts, you are not your emotions, you are not your trauma, you are not the activity of the conditioned mind, you are not the process of blame. In this very moment, come back to feeling. Come back to the heart. Even as we talk about blame, just notice whether now all of your attention's on thinking about blame, for example. Come back in this very moment to the heart and to a direct experience of presence and love. Not love that's attached to an object. Not love of, not I love blank. If love feels like too much of a reach, come back to acceptance. Acceptance is simply a byproduct of awareness. Come back to awareness. What does the open heart know of blame? For example, just occurred to me, there's someone in my life who's been struggling a lot. And his coping mechanism in the face of struggling is to shut everyone and everything out, to keep everyone and everything at bay. To do that, I would project from a place of, and I'll stay safe by doing that. So cutting out people in his life, shutting down. I see great fallout based on that conditioned choice. There's fallout based on the conditioned choice. That conditioned choice has ripple effects. It would be tempting for anyone in relationship with this person to then want to blame this person. Look at the fallout of this conditioned activity. But when we're releasing blame, the heart is flooded with compassion. What kind of suffering would you have to be in to try to wall off the world in a futile attempt to find safety? It's like building dams that could never actually be strong enough to hold back all of the water that exists in the world. So by returning to the heart, we move from blame to a sense and experience of compassion, of empathy, of connection. From a place of empathy and connection, we can ask, what's here for me to do now if we feel called to action, right? So it could be action in relationship to climate change, could be action in relationship to something happening in your personal life. It might be a non-action. Sometimes our actions are actually just arising from this conditioned process of blame. So if I'm blaming them for this, then I need to this. And we go down this rabbit hole of reactivity. Because we're still not able to bring someone on screen, I take it right now. Go ahead and write in the sidebar, if you would. What is your felt experience when you're caught in that kind of reactivity? What's the fallout of that kind of reactivity?
Amazing.
Oh, hi, Spencer. Unfortunately, it's quite spotty. I can't, I wonder.
The sun is shining through the window on my face.
That's lovely. But I didn't mean visually. Your voice is...
my voice.
Yeah, it's... But anyway, if it's not a problem for other people, I think I can make out what you're saying. So let's try it.
I will talk slowly.
Okay. Okay, good. It's fine for you, Caroline. Okay. Going to need to, it's just a little choppy, but please, Spencer, share what's coming up for you, and I'll do my best to make out what you're
saying. What is coming up for me is a lot of humor, laughter right now, because I was doing fine with the blame thing until I couldn't get Crowdcast to work.
And then
blame. After a year and a half, it's like
that is
so funny. I'm actually don't remember why I wanted to come on screen. I wanted to just to mention one thing, I've been feeling very free from blame in a lot of ways, from self-blame and from blaming individuals in the last couple months. And a lot of that has to do with I've been watching a lot of Rupert Spira, and I found that focusing on I am is just absolutely wonderful. It just slows me down and is helping me live from the present more. And I'm not even sure if I'm saying as well as I can.
Yeah. You know, Spencer, if I can do a little reflecting, I think what you're saying is important. You have been able to rest in the blameless more fully when you focus the attention on the absolute, when you focus on who I am, authentically. I love Spencer. We got a comment from Deborah on the side. No tech blame. I love that.
I do too. Mm-hmm. The one thing I am seeing in this discussion is I'm blaming faceless groups. I'm blaming groups of political or spiritual or all these so many things that I can blame, or even in the ownership of sports franchises and all kinds of things. I'm finding that there's a real focus on that, and that's this meeting is a real it's a good check on myself to see that there's an area that I really, really can work on.
Spencer, I'd be interested to hear what other people's experience on the call is, but I think often we feel it's easier to fall into blame if we're not actually, if it's a faceless, if a faceless blame, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just, I'm just avoiding all of my own, my responsibility to really look deeper. So I think this is very, very helpful.
Yes, I was speaking with my dear friend who I'm in this Airbnb with. She's helping me edit my book. And, you know, she was pointing to the way in which in fairy tales, there's often like an evil stepmother.
Yeah.
And it's like this way to place what we don't know how to reconcile or be with, or confusion we have about what mother even means. We just place it on this character. So even though there might be a face in a fairy tale of the stepmother, it's still this a similar process. Like, I just am going to take all this confusion or feeling and I'm going to put it over there. As we pointed to in this, a way for things to be known, to not have to stay in the confusion or in the upset or, yeah.
Well, this time of COVID has been a time of, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I don't know if I'm going to die. I don't know about if my friends are going to be okay. I don't know.
Tremendous time of, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it would serve us all to practice resting into that question, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because I know that's what the ego fears the most is not knowing. It has to know. And I think this is why the conspiracy theories are running rampant now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them that I saw back in the 80s are resurrecting. But it's a way, I know these people are doing this. And we don't really know what's going on. We really don't.
And it's powerful when we can see that and name that. Spencer, thank you so much for bringing that in. It's really rich. And I see that Lean's going to come on. And I appreciate you just sharing and saying hello today. It's good to see you again. It's been a long time.
It's good to see you, Kimberly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So yes, I just want to reflect this last insight of Spencer's. You know, this time of COVID is a time in which the entire universe is inviting us to step more fully into, I don't know, mind. Our conditioned reaction is to do whatever we can not to relax into that open awareness. But yes, here we've got Sarah saying, blame for me is trying to stop the suffering, and I rationalize how I can avoid it in future circumstances. I ask why, how I got there. Wanting to prevent future suffering seems like a natural thing to do. Hi.
Hi.
Lean, good to see you.
Hello.
Hi, thanks so much. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Brussels in Belgium.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on screen.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I was confused trying to change browsers, and so I'm a little bit in a more practical thing now. But now it just spoke to me very much, the theme of blame. I've been, especially lately, I've been noticing quite a lot of blame in myself. And I also noticed what you just talked about with Spencer, that at the same time, like with COVID, for example, I feel like there I can accept the unknown, or like not knowing what it's really about and just letting it be. But there's like more personal things sometimes, also other things, but especially some personal things where I noticed I'm, during the meditation, what I noticed also was that there's a link between blaming someone else, like, and creates suffering inside of me. And then the blaming someone else then comes back to blame, starts to evoke blaming myself. And it's like a kind of loop, or like, and it feels very connected.
It's very connected. It's the same process. Lean, it's the same process. It's just out and then in, and then out and then in. But it's the same process. That's a really important thing to underline.
Mm-hmm. And then I also noticed, like what you were saying, like, what are you avoiding? And when you were asking, then I thought, like, yeah, indeed, I'm just avoiding certain pain. In fact, by a specific theme that I'm feeling a bit like I'm trying to avoid, I think, feeling like, you know, being alone, or feeling so separate, or you know, blaming others for pushing me away, while in fact I realize I'm trying to not feel this.
Yes. And what would you say you're trying not to feel?
I'm sorry?
What would you say you're trying not to feel?
I think I'm trying not to feel the pain I think it's the pain of the pain that I felt as a child, of when I felt so alone and so not welcome, or which is evoked in things in the now, but which in fact have nothing to do with this, I think.
Yes, and it's striking, isn't it? Because what you're saying is we are conditioned to be willing to suffer and to choose suffering over feeling pain. And this is really important, because your point is good. It's a pain that's not even here and now. Mm. So pain, you know, it comes and it goes. If we actually allowed ourselves to simply feel it, it would do what pain does, which is come and go. Or we'd realize, even actually, it's not even current pain. It's just the residue. It's the ripple effect of something from my childhood, which has nothing to do with now. And I can see through that. So all of this suffering, we choose over being with that. So Fiona just chimed in. I'm trying not to feel rejection. But meanwhile, we're rejecting ourselves. Our true selves, we're rejecting true nature.
Mm. But what I find difficult about this is that, like, somehow I notice, like, somehow, like, also when I'm, or not when, but like I kind of know that it's old pain, and that it's and that the best thing I can do about it is just offer it some kind space and welcome it and take care of it. But sometimes, like it's difficult to not get.
Oh, shoot. You just froze for me for a moment. I'm not sure if you froze for others. Oh, shoot. So I, on my end, yes, okay. There's there's some freezing, some tech freezing happening. Well, I will say if that doesn't shift, okay, so she's back now, but I'm not.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Yes.
Shoot. Okay, friends, nope. You might be able to hear, but I can't. Yeah, frozen. Thank you, Pam, for chiming in. Okay, it's not just my computer. Well, simply because of what time it is, it's important to me to at least put some links into the chat. I can answer some more questions, but before we close out today, it is really important to me to get to tell you about a few things. First, I'm really happy to report that for those of you who are not familiar with this children's book, it was such a joy to write a kid's book about mindfulness, and it goes way beyond standard view of mindfulness. It goes into, you know, deep questions about who we truly are. You know, it names the way in which you can be with whatever is, and trying to find some of the pretty pictures parts. But, you know, I love how this book was designed. I was not the designer for it. Anyway, I'm offering a special on my website where I'm signing books for folks who want to send a kid's book to a loved one. It's for ages 9 through 109. So the top link is to take you to getting a book if you would like for me to sign one for a loved one or for you. And then I just wanted to plant that seed again. I already talked about it, but I'm so excited about this book that's coming out through Sounds True. And then a few event things I wanted you to know about. One is I have a Tuesday morning group. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning, Portland time. So, Pacific Standard Time. And I wanted to make sure that you knew, that group is open to all and offered on a donation basis. And many people that I've met through Sangha Live tend to join. And, lastly, I have a few spots left on this winter retreat in California. I'm teaching with Jelani Matt, a wonderful Dharma teacher and a dear friend. And we will be in, right outside Oakland, in a retreat center there called San Damiano. And we have a few spaces left. So if you want to check that out, please do. So again, there have been a few more things added, but you can scroll up and see those links that I posted. And thanks. Check out Sangha Live's links as well. I'm on Instagram. They're on Instagram. And as you heard, I just love this community, and this has been such a rich discussion. And yeah, thank you, Liam. I hope I'm saying your name right, but thank you so much for your share. I really appreciate what did come through before we had the tech problem. Yeah. And thank you, JD, for naming that insight. You know, I've found that instead of blaming others or labeling them as their faults, I could try to be curious about their pain. It's a really beautiful act of service and compassion. Friends, thank you so, so much. I'd love to see you again. I'd love to practice with you again. Thank you so much, Sangha Live, for your support, and particularly Caroline. It's just always a joy to see you, and I appreciate your service. So, friends, thank you. Many, many blessings to you. Many blessings during this time. my love goes out to you all, and any benefit that comes from today, I hope it will ripple and I invite you in any way that works for you to allow the truth of your true nature to ripple in your life, to rest the attention in the heart, and to allow yourself to allow acts of being to ripple in the world from the heart. Thank you. Until soon.